Welcome to the Take Six podcast.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening to you Toronto Raptors fans. If you're not a Raptors fan, none of that to you. How's it going, everybody? Thank you for listening to another episode of the Take Six podcast. Like I said on the past few episodes, we're pretty much Raptors-centric at the moment just because they're in the NBA Finals. Do not expect any Blue Jays content coming from us. In fact, I'm not sure you would want any. I'm not too sure anybody would want any. I know I don't really want to talk about that kind of stuff at the moment. But today, the Raptors are up 2-1 in the NBA Finals. How sweet is that? I'm your host, Hunter Surplus. And as always, with me on the other line, I've got my main man, Mr. Callum Wise. Callum, what is up, my man?
Buddy, I'm doing quite great. I said in the last podcast, we got to win big to show them that we're not messing around. And they did just that. I said Raps win it by 12, but they won by 14. So kind of mad on that part, you know, like the boys got to show up.
You were still right on that front. And I agreed with you there because the Raptors needed to win by 10 plus basically to really ensure that win. If it was within, you know, 6 or 7 with, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes left instead of them being up 16, this game is probably a whole different story and we might be talking about a different outcome. So like I said, Kyle, the Raptors won game 3. They won it by a 14-point margin, as you said, 123 to 109. They won all 4 quarters last night, which I'm very happy with, and that makes it 10 of 12 quarters this series that the Raptors have won. That's nuts. The Raptors shot an insane 50-40-90 percentages on the night, which I find absurd. And like I said in the last podcast, Callum, this was kind of the middle ground game that I was talking about from guys not named Kawhi Leonard. Siakam didn't have 32 points. Gasol didn't have 20 points. Ibaka didn't have 20 points, but they were all in that middle ground. None of them had a 4-point game. None of them played horribly. None of them played fantastically. They played exactly the way we needed them to play, which I guess is fantastic.
Except for Danny Green.
Except for Danny Green. This was the Danny Green game. If you want, we can start off with Danny Green here. I have a few players that I do want to talk about. So Danny Green, like you mentioned, Callum, he was fantastic. 6 of 10 from 3, my man. 18 points. And one thing that stood out to me was how aggressive he was on the boards to start the game. He only finished off with 5 rebounds. But I think to start the game, he had like 4 rebounds in the first 5 or 6 minutes before kind of getting into foul trouble there, which is something I also want to talk about. What'd you see from Danny Green that was a little bit different tonight? I guess last night.
I mean, just, yeah, like you said, his aggressiveness, man. Even on his shot taking, like you could see him, like after some of those games where he shot really poorly, he would get the ball, like fake the 3 and then pass it off. Now he's looking for that tray and he's just banging them. Like you said, he was 6 of 10 last night, but at one point he was 6 for 8. And they were all 3-point attempts, and that's actually just insane. Especially, I think his 2 last makes were just like silly shots that shouldn't have gone in. And his aggressiveness with his shot taking, and like you said, his boards in the first, and as well as that, bro, that chase down block was I loved it. Oof. It was insane. Yeah, like Danny Green he had a night, and his aggressiveness just showed that he wanted it, man. And yeah, like it was great to see that Danny actually has had one of those games that he is so used to having.
Yeah. And you mentioned the aggressiveness, you talked about it there. And like, I think that was the biggest thing. As soon as he made his first 1, 2, 3 3 pointers, it seemed like he was on top of the world. Like you said, he was taking shots that we haven't seen him take for a very long time, just because of, I don't know if it's his confidence has been shot, but like he hasn't really been making those shots as much as we obviously would like him to make. And you know, getting 6 threes on a 60% clip probably isn't something that we can look into getting very often, but Danny Green has those games, and when Danny Green makes shots, Danny Green keeps making shots. He's a streaky shooter, and generally speaking, when he has that confidence, he is obviously more confident in taking a lot of those shots, and some of those are ugly shots to take. Some of them are shots there where he had hands in his face, where his feet weren't totally planted before taking the shot. He was a very catch and shoot type of guy tonight, which is what we've seen him succeed in this season. And that's what really put him over the edge tonight. And it's not that he hasn't been getting open looks all series. It's that he hasn't been converting, really. When Danny Green converts, this team is almost unstoppable, because then you have guys needing to worry, they always worry about him, but they have to worry more about Danny Green banging six threes any given night. That was fantastic to me. And you said something about silly shots. I think that's what you said. How about that Fred Van Fleet three, eh?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that as well, man. Oh, my God. I went insane after that shot.
Yeah, so this is what I texted you, just for the listeners here. This is what I texted you after that shot. So you said, all caps, that shot, holy. So you're yelling at me. I yelled back at you, buddy. And then I go, absurd, nuts. You say, how? I go, immaculate, shocking, insane. You go, unbelievable. I say, impossible. You say, crazy. I say, ridiculous. You say, bonkers. I say, kooky, silly, preposterous, ludicrous. And those are just some of the words to explain how good that shot was, how nuts that shot was. And you know what? Maybe Kawhi should have been called with the travel there. Maybe he should have, and he probably should have. But on that shot, Fred Van Fleet got fouled. It should have been a four-point play. That was one of the most, it's tough to call it a dagger because they were still up by quite 10. A bit. Yeah, by the 10, time right? that he shot yeah. that. Yeah, by the time that he took that shot. But it felt like that was the moment where I could kind of let out that sigh of relief and be, we won this game. Yeah, this was like, a Raptors W.
Right when he hit that shot, like I texted to you right after that. The fans started leaving like in huge numbers.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to see these like supposedly the best crowd in the NBA just leave like that. Oh, it was a great feeling, man. Loved it.
Did you see that video of people like Raptors fans in the arena at the end of the game singing "Oh Canada"?
Oh yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. The Raptors have the best fans in the NBA. The Raptors fans are the best in the NBA.
It's because we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Haven't been. Yeah, I mean the Warriors have won basically every single championship in the past 20 five. Years. Yeah, like that's what it feels like to me. So I feel like these fans are just kind of like, yeah, whatever. This is nothing to me, man. I've seen four of these. But let's get back into Fred Van Fleet, who yet again, you know, another good game. And shout out to his children, dude. Like, whatever happens when you become a father, and I mean, like, I guess he was a father before this, but that first moment, maybe, like, the adrenaline is just going through his veins of not sleeping, of just kind of being lack of sleep, lack of energy. You're just putting it all into these basketball games. And it wasn't necessarily a flashy night by him per se, because he only had 11 points, three steals, only 3 of 6 from three. But the big thing to me was that he had no turnovers in 33 minutes. And we know how much Fred Van Fleet holds the ball. And this is something that I've talked about and that I've ranted about angrily, that he holds the ball way too long. But when his decision-making is this good and as good as it was tonight, and you get no turnovers, and he's able to kill the clock out in late game scenarios, that's one of the best things that you can ask for from a backup point guard. But the biggest part to me about Fred Van Fleet's game, and we've kind of been preaching about this for each of the games in this series, is that his defense on Curry was immaculate. It was fantastic.
Yep. And people might say because he had 47 points that, oh, he didn't have good defense. Look how many shot attempts Curry had, man. Like, obviously Curry is insane, and like he'll score that in any given night. But when Van Vliet was on this man, he would shut him down. He couldn't make shots. And
homeboy would have put up 60 if if it wasn't for Van Fleet, man, because Lowry was getting dusted.
Yeah.
Lowry was getting dusted. Oh, my God. All this guy could do was foul him. The only thing that he was doing was fouling Steph Curry. Yeah.
I think that's like all of his fouls
were on Steph Curry. Yeah, 100%. And it showed because Nick Nurse did end up starting Fred Van Fleet in the second half there. I mean, Steph Curry was still out there, but he did end up going with Fred Van Fleet to start because he needed that defensive presence on Steph Curry. And I said this before the game that I thought that Steph was going to go for 50 tonight because where else are his points going to come from? Where else are the team's points going to come from? But that was one of the ugliest 47-point games I've ever seen just because of the defense that Fred Van Fleet was playing on him. And like you said, he took a lot of shots. He was 31 shots. He was 6 of 14 from 3, which is very good, but he got to the line 14 times. And like I said, a lot of that was, you know, Kyle Lowry fouling his brains out when guarding Steph Curry. But then again, when Steph was getting to the paint, he was getting a lot of calls, and when the bigger guys were on him, he was still trying to getting a lot of calls in terms of the 3-point plays and all that. But Fred Van Fleet did a really good job defensively. That's what stands out to me the most. Obviously, his points, you know, going 3 of 6 from 3 is always needed, and shooting 50% from the field is always a bonus. But man, like, I think, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think if Fred Van Fleet played this well in the early stages of that Milwaukee series and throughout the entire Philly series, I think A, we win that Philly series in 5, and B, maybe we win the Bucks series in 5. Is that nuts?
I think the Bucks, yes, but Philly, because they're such a big team, I don't know. That, like, it's because he's had better matchups against the two. But yeah, if he was playing like he's been playing, anything is possible, Brent. Like, he's pretty much our third scoring opportunity, like our third scoring force on this team.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I could definitely see winning both series in 5.
Buddy, I'm hearing people say that Fred Van Fleet is in like the top 3 Finals MVP candidates right now. But like
on the Raptors?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, okay, so like the games have been so like different. Like, obviously Kawhi's number 1 just cuz it's Kawhi and he scores like insane amount of points no matter how he does. And then like it's based on the game. Like, game 1 it was Siakam, this game was Danny Green. And I don't even know who I'd say for game 2.
Well, who's been the most consistent of all these guys in terms of playing at their peak, like giving their, in terms of their own ability, an A+ performance? I think it's been Fred Van Fleet. Kawhi hasn't given that, you know, quote unquote A+ performance quite yet, because I don't think he's fully healthy. Kyle Lowry, and we'll talk about him in just a minute, he gave a pretty good performance. I think this was his A+ performance tonight, but he hasn't been doing it all series. He, game 1 and 2, he was a no show essentially. And Siakam, game 1, obviously he was fantastic. Game 2, no show. And then game 3, he had a really good game. Like I said, the middle ground. Gasol has been really good. Ibaka has been pretty good, right? He hasn't been putting up the numbers, but he's been a good fill-in for Gasol when he's not out there.
6 blocks last night.
God, crazy. Yeah, I know, man. It's nuts. So you want to talk a bit about Lowry first or Kawhi? We kind of mentioned both those guys. Which one do you want to get into first?
Talk about Lowry first.
So this game, you know, like we said that it was the Danny Green game, Cal, I think that this was also the Kyle Lowry game as well. 23 points, 9 assists, 50% from the field, 56 from 3. To me, it looked like he was really aggressive in running the offense, and especially early on where he was running pretty much after every Golden State miss. Kind of seemed to me like he was trying to get Curry to run and try to tire Curry out, because despite Curry not necessarily guarding Lowry all the time, having him having to get back and get into his defensive position is enough effort to tire a guy like that out who's always running off ball and all that kind of stuff. And it was good to see for me. What did you see from Kyle that you want to translate into the rest of these games?
I feel like his hustle was just there, man. Like, those plays where he would just go in for the ball. Like, there was that one, it was like, I think two offensive rebounds for the Warriors, but it came out, Gasol tapped it out, and there was him and Curry, and they both dove for it, and they got a jump ball. Like, and Larry had to go farther distance. Like, he had to dive for that ball, and it was nice to see him back into that pit bull role where he just goes for every single ball, as well as the one where he jumped into the stands to try and throw it back in, and it went off the ref, and then got shoved by the fan.
So I think an underrated aspect of that play is that he hit the ref in the head.
He got it, man. He got it in.
He got it in.
But the ref was standing in the way.
Like, everyone's talking about the push, and obviously that's going to be the big story because now it's come out that it's the Warriors' part owner, bro. But, like, an underrated part of that is that it hit the ref in the head. That's hilarious. That's so funny. Like, how often are you going to see some guy dive for the ball, throw it behind him, and hit Buddy in the head on the sideline? It's classic. And that's what I thought he was so mad about to begin with. Like,
yeah, same.
Right after, because
I did too.
Yeah, because I noticed him hitting the head, and I was kind of laughing about that for a little bit. Well, and then
I yelled out, I was like, "That should be our ball, man! It would have gone in if the ref was just standing there."
And then I didn't notice the push until some of the other people that I was working with were like, "Yeah, like Lowry got pushed." And I was like, "Wait, what?" So I had to watch the replay again to see it. But that, I think that's like an underrated part from that, because that's pretty funny, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damn funny. And we already mentioned that he was not, necessarily great defensively on Steph Curry, but I think Fred VanVleet is just a better matchup. That's not to say that he's not been good defensively, because obviously he's always taking charges and you know, he's getting a few steals. He had a steal last night. He had a block. His energy out there is you know, translates to the other guys. His 9 assists, I think, is what I want to see him bring over. Game 1, he had 9 assists. Game 2, in which we lost, he only had 2 assists. And now in game 3, another 9 assist outing. So to me, I mean, 9 assists for Kyle Lowry just means a Raptors W, right? Like, I think that's just the key to getting a win is Lowry being able to pass the ball. And not just Lowry, obviously the whole team being able to pass the ball and move the ball around. And that was a good thing that I saw coming into this game, was that their ball movement in game 1 was really good, and in game 3, it was really good as well. So now let's talk about Kawhi Leonard here. And Kawhi, obviously, he had the kind of gaudy stats with 30 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 52% from the field, only 33% from 3, but that's all right, and made 10 of 11 free throws on the day. Kawhi Leonard, man, like, obviously, those are really good numbers, right? I'll take that any day of the week from any guy on my basketball team, on the team that I cheer for. I'll take that any day. But it really doesn't seem like that he's 100%. And I'm not going out on a limb when I'm saying that, right? A lot of people are saying this, and everyone kind of thinks it. But there are points, man, where he does not look like he is the Kawhi Leonard of, you know, his MVP. See, like, his MVP running season, his finals MVP, but he's still putting up the really big numbers. What do you like about Kawhi's game, and where do you think that he can improve on if he really is that hampered?
I mean, what I like about his game is obviously him still having the ability to quietly put up 30 points. Like, I swear that's been happening every single game, except for when he going, like, he's just doing everything himself. Like, this game was a team effort. Everyone scored, I think, was it 6 or 7 people that had double digits?
Last night, it was 6 guys who had 6. Double digits. Basically, everyone who contributed had double digits, except for Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So obviously, last night was a team effort, and you had guys like Danny Green and Van Vliet and Pascal, all these guys putting up decent numbers, but Kawhi still put up that 30 points, which put us over the edge to take that win, as well as him just having a bunch of stats down the line where it helped the team obviously get the win. And I think obviously he is injured because He's not playing as well as we're used to. But if our team stays this way for the rest of the series and they can evenly distribute the points, then I don't think he'll have to put the team on his back. Because, like, obviously we love it, but I don't think we want that. We don't want that at all. Like, nobody wants to do that because that just puts so much pressure, first of all. And, like, if they mess up, then you're screwed. Because, like you saw last night with Curry, man scored 47 points and lost by 14 points. And everyone's saying, like, now he knows how LeBron feels. And that's
facts, big facts.
Pretty true, because you can't, obviously, if you're one of the greatest of all time, you still can't do it alone, especially in this league. And it showed last night that, like, you have to have a team behind you. And that's why I think Kawhi can, I think they can not limit his minutes, but he doesn't have to have the ball as much because the rest of the team is doing so well.
Well, yeah, because to me, like, in the first basically 10 minutes of this game, 8 to 10 minutes of this game, Kawhi wasn't really doing anything on yeah. either end of the floor. Like, obviously, he was still doing his normal defensive stuff, but he wasn't really carrying the ball up. He wasn't really putting up any shots. He wasn't he wasn't doing any ISO plays. He was just kind of running off ball, and if he got the ball, he was going to get it. If he didn't get it, then they'd run a play through somebody else. And that is an important thing because he's getting that rest at the beginning of the game where he isn't having to exert as much energy throughout that time. So if this game was close by the end, you could see him coming in and getting out there and dominating in the times that he needs to. And he had a very quiet first half. I think he only had 9 points total in the first half. And then that second half came around. And like I said, 9 points in the first half, 21 in the second half. But they were, yet again, a quiet 21 points. The thing that stands out to me, obviously, he's been rebounding a whole lot in each of the games. Last night, he only had 7, which is low for him in these finals and in the past few series. But 6 assists is what really impresses me about him, because you never think about a facilitator or a passer when it comes to Kawhi Leonard. Just think about him being able to score and him being able to get to the basket and him being able to play defense really well. But the past few games, he has been getting more assists. He's been getting more potential assists than what we expect. That's what stands out to me. And I think that if he can continue that, and like you said, you need a whole team effort. If he can continue that, that's where it's going to come. Because obviously, as we've seen this whole series, they like putting a lot of pressure on Kawhi, whether it's a double team or almost a triple team there with the backside defender kind of just shadowing the two guys double teaming. That means there's a lot of guys open. And if Kawhi Leonard can find that open man like he did with that absurd Fred VanVleet shot that we were talking about, then this is a team that is very scary. This is a team that is going to be able to get contribution from 6 or 7 different guys on the floor because of one guy named Kawhi Leonard. And obviously, Kyle Lowry can pass. And obviously, you know, Fred VanVleet can pass. And Marc Gasol can pass. And Siakam can pass. But if your best guy and your number one scoring option is also able to facilitate and move the ball around and give up his good shot for a shot that is even better, to me, that's kind of like Spurs-esque, right? That's a very Spursian approach to the game, and that's what we're seeing from Kawhi Leonard, and it's something that we haven't really seen before. And another thing that we haven't seen is a signature Kawhi game, right? Like, Kawhi hasn't had that game where you're just like, oh my God, this is Kawhi's game. Kawhi's going to dominate. Kawhi's going to be the reason we won this game. We haven't really seen that quite yet, like we had in the Philadelphia series, like we had in a couple of the Bucks games. I'm excited for that, right? Because we've seen the Danny Green game. We saw the Siakam game. Marc Gasol kind of probably had his best game of the series. I think this game 3 was probably the Kyle Lowry game. I don't think we've had a Kawhi game yet, man. And it's going to come. I'll tell you right now that it's going to come. There's going to be one game where Kawhi Leonard is going to have like 25 at half or something, 22 at half, 25 at half. And you're just going to be like, oh my God, this guy's unstoppable. You're not going to be able to do anything to stop this guy. And you're not going to be able to do anything to stop this team. That's the biggest thing to me. And I'm excited for that moment because we haven't had a guy who really will be able to will a team to a win in the NBA Finals ever before. And this is the guy that will be able to do it. And you know what? There's only four more games left, and I guarantee you one of these games is going to be won by Kawhi. One of these games is going to be won by Kawhi.
Yeah, I definitely think so. All right, where's the Jeremy Lin game, though? Come on. We need the Jeremy Lin game, buddy.
Well, I think maybe it was last night. He played 51 seconds. He was a plus two.
Okay, yeah, that's the Jeremy Lin game.
That's the Jeremy Lin game, man.
We're good.
We're all right, man. And you know what? I would have liked to see Anunoby kind of hop in the game there as well, kind of at the end. I understand why he didn't.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to get him out there. But I think they do that, they bring him out at home. I'm sure of it. They'll bring him out if they're getting blown out or if they're blowing the Warriors out. Anunoby will get that 51 seconds from Jody Meeks or from Malcolm Miller. 100%.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to talk about before we kind of get into game four is the Raptors' bigs being way better. And we've kind of alluded to this throughout the podcast here, but like the big things that I noticed from the Raptors' bigs today was Gasol was able to exploit Boogie's weakness on defense. He kind of went right at him, wasn't letting up and letting Boogie get away with it with just taking long threes. He was actually getting in at him. And it's something that we haven't really seen from Marc Gasol is him working the paint as much and getting in there and trying to do his signature kind of spin moves and all that kind of stuff. Ibaka had 6 blocks. He was really good for us on the defensive rebounds. I know he didn't get a whole lot of defensive rebounds, but his boxing out was really good. Siakam had another good game. He pretty much dominated Jonas Jerebko. He cooked anybody up that basically was on him. All in all, to me, they just kind of dominated the Warriors' big men, right? Like, Boogie didn't look the same from game two, and maybe that just means that game two was kind of the anomaly. Maybe he was just kind of riding the high of being a starter for the first time. I don't think we're going to see that Boogie again for the rest of the series. Jerebko, it seems to me that, you know, he should not be playing any minutes in the NBA Finals when you're playing against bigs like Ibaka, like Gasol, like Siakam. You can even throw Kawhi in there. And you know what? Both those guys made Andrew Bogut look good. And if Andrew Bogut looks good on your NBA Finals team, either you are doing a really good thing or that's the worst thing ever. And in this series, it seems like that's the worst thing ever because Andrew Bogut should never look good in an NBA Finals game as in relation to your other guys. Do you think these guys can continue this? And what do you think that they need to do to actually get over this hump of, you know, I don't want to say it all right. I don't want to speak it right here, but get over the hump and help the team win the NBA championship.
Oh man, like I feel like our big matchup is just so much better, you know? Like obviously Kevon Looney's out, but the rest of them are bums. They're just bums. Like obviously Bogut had an okay night, but like you just said, Bogut should never have an okay night in the NBA Finals unless you're actually really hurting, and that's what's happening to Golden State because Boogie, like you, I think you're right. I think he's riding a high of, I don't like during that one game, like he didn't have a good game last night. He was just fouling everybody, wasn't making shots. Like, keep doing that. I like it when he's not doing anything because like he came back early from an injury to actually play in the finals, and that's kind of hurt the team because now they have to rely on Bogut, which is hilarious. And that's why I think like Gasol and Ibaka can just do whatever they want because they don't really have a huge threat to defend against and they can run the floor. Like Gasol can do that two-man defense that he's so used to doing. Ibaka can run around the court blocking everybody, and that's what we saw last night. And I think that might be the tipping point. And like you said, I don't want to say it, but it might be the tipping point to help us win the championship, that because our two really good centers can pretty much do whatever they want because they don't have a big challenge to defend against from the Golden State Warriors, except when, like, I don't know, maybe Draymond moves into that role like he's done before, Iguodala. Yeah, I think that they just have to keep playing the way they're playing and everything will work out for the bigs on the Raps.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kevon Looney. I think that's probably the biggest thing for these Raptors bigs. And this series may have switched from a guard dominant and kind of a wing dominant series to maybe the bigs having the biggest impact on this series, because there's no one who can really guard the Siakams of the world on that team. And obviously Draymond is that guy, but they're not using him in that way, especially without Klay Thompson, and or especially without a fully healthy Klay Thompson on the defensive end, because they're going to need him to kind of help off other guys and roam around the perimeter and whatnot. And when he's roaming around the perimeter, that means that Gasol's on somebody who's not Kevon Looney, and that means Ibaka is on somebody that's not, you know, one of their good bigs on defense. And it's a good thing, right? Like, obviously, I don't like to see anybody get hurt, but in this case, this really helps the Raptors, because Kevon Looney, like, he's not all NBA. He's not all-star level guy, but he is a dynamic force on the offensive and defensive ends that maybe won't totally hurt the Raptors per se, but will impact the game in a way that Bogut can't, or that Yurebko can, or that Boogie Cousins can't, because of his versatility and his speed and strength and whatnot. So this series might have switched into a series that is going to come down to which bigs are going to be better. And for me right now, that's the Raptors. It has to be, right?
Yeah.
So let's get into a little bit of Game 4 talk, and you know, it's not going to be a whole lot, but it was just reported that, I mean, well, not just reported, but this morning, we're recording this on Thursday, June 6th, it was reported that Klay Thompson will be back for Game 4. How healthy he is, nobody knows really except for him. I'm assuming it's not going to be that healthy, and we're still not sure about Kevin Durant, but to me, it seems like I'm pretty sure that Kevin Durant won't be playing at least until Game 5 or 6, man, because he does not look good. You see him walking, and he is walking slow. He doesn't necessarily have a limp, but I think that's because he's walking really slow. He's not making his way out. He's not sitting on the bench with the guys. He's just in the back at all times. He's probably getting a lot of treatment. How do you think Klay Thompson will impact Game 4 and the rest of the series by coming back?
It's hard to say, because we don't know how, like, the severity of his injury. I think he could have played tonight, but obviously they're just like, you know what? Nah, we're gonna let him rest this game, because, like, up until the very start of the game, they said he was gonna be on the bench, but they just said right before the game that, nope, we're not going to play him. So I think he'll be able to come back in Game 4 and not play at 100%. But I think he'll probably play decently well. I think he'll help Curry.
I don't think he's going to have one of those Klay Thompson games where he just comes out of nowhere and bangs 60 points. But I think he'll be enough so that Curry doesn't have to score 50, and it will be a much tougher game than what we saw tonight, which I expected. Like, that's why I said for Game 3 that we have to win in a not necessarily a blowout, but in Oracle, beating them by 14 points is pretty much a blowout. So I think Game 4 with Klay in it will be a lot tougher, especially because he's a good defender, and it will help them out even if he's not playing at 100%. It's just like Kawhi Leonard. Like, he's not playing at 100%, but he's still helping the team in a huge way.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, Klay is a really good defender. Klay is able to go off at any given moment, but I think both his defense and offense will be hampered, obviously. But that's going to be a big thing for the Raptors to exploit, because if Klay can't move laterally, which he already isn't that great at moving laterally both ways, he's still a really good defender, but if he isn't able to move laterally as well as he normally can, that's something that the Raptors can exploit. On offense, if Klay's not running around off ball as much as he normally does to go along with Steph, the Raptors' defense doesn't have to work as hard. They don't have to keep following both guys and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that they will not play Klay Thompson in the same manner that he usually does. He probably won't get the toughest defensive assignment you probably won't get the toughest offensive, assignments, and he probably won't have the biggest role in the offense. Like you said, he'll take shots away from Curry, which might be able to open up the offense a little bit more than it was last night. But I don't think it's going to be a huge impact that some people might think so. And with KD coming back, like I said, same kind of thing with Clay here. If he comes back, he is absolutely not going to be 100%. If he comes back within these next, one or two games, he's not going to be 100%. He's going to have to knock the rust off because how much time that he has missed so far this postseason and coming into this playoffs or this final, sorry. I don't know how great he's going to be, but obviously 60% or 70% Kevin Durant is better than no Kevin Durant, right? And maybe you can say the same thing about Klay Thompson, but with the way the Raptors are playing and if they're able to keep up this momentum and head into game four with a full head of steam, I'm not liking the chances of Golden State winning this one. And obviously anything can happen. The Raptors are on the road. The Warriors are so good at home, but I don't know how much either will be able to fully impact the game at only 60-70%.
Yeah. I mean, we won't know until we watch the game, so.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't know how healthy either guy is, right? So, Klay Thompson might be 100% by Friday. But I think that only one day off in between games, the only time in the NBA Finals, it kind of screws me because I can't watch the game with the boys, but it is going to help the Raptors because of the Warriors' health issues. And so I think that's it for today. What do you think is going to happen in game four, Cal? You think Raptors are getting another W?
I'm going to say Raps win by 5 points.
I want to say the Raptors, but I can't see Golden State losing two in a row at home, but I also can't see the Raptors losing against a team with, a very unhealthy Klay Thompson. And I don't think Kevin Durant's going to be back. So I'll go Raps win by seven points. Seven point win. All right, guy. Well, thank you for chatting. Everybody go to take6.org, subscribe to us there. You can see all articles, blog posts, whatever. Go to, where else do they go? Go to wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe, rate, review, whatever that is. Do that for us. It helps us out more than you think. Go to Twitter, follow us at @take_6, Instagram @take6podcast. And everybody enjoy the day. Go Raptors.